I just heard that FX has a new original comedy coming out called Adults, which after watching the trailer feels all too familiar. Adults is a comedy that would feel relatable if you ever find humor in the struggles of being an adult in 2025. You know, like remembering your full social security number or to drink water, or perhaps having your third existential crisis of the month. Best part is that all episodes will be ready for your next weekend binge. Watch FX's Adults Wednesdays on FX, all episodes now streaming on Hulu.
Are you ready for more independence as a financial advisor? Are you ready for more growth and control over your future? The Independent Registered Investment Advisor, or RIA, model might be right for you. There are many paths to independence, and Schwab Advisor Services has helped thousands of advisors make the move with confidence. From defining your vision to successfully transitioning your clients, Schwab helps you build your roadmap to independence. To find your path, start with Schwab Advisor Services at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths. Today.
All right, friends, welcome back to another episode of Two Idiot Girls. Woo! How you doing?
Not good.
Not good. Why?
Just one of those weekends, I guess.
I feel that.
That's how I've been feeling the past couple days.
What about you? Same. I went out last night, so I'm a little tired.
Yeah.
Went to my first Footch. It was a 10 out of 10 experience. I had a lot of fun.
Nice.
Made a bunch of new friends. Good times.
Nice.
I met a fan there, too. Like, at the end.
Well, naturally.
Yeah. Which she was really nice, and she said she loves the podcast.
Period.
Really cool. Yeah.
Period. Shouts out.
Yeah.
I took Tuna to the vet. That's what I did yesterday.
Now, who is Tuna?
Who is Wiggs? So yeah, the Toons had to go to the emergency vet hospital. Cow a bummer. Folks, Tuna's not typically my sick boy. That's regularly Squid. Thankfully, we haven't had, knock on wood, any incidences since we took Squid to see a specialist. But Toonie was acting a little funny. He had a couple, there was like one or two things out of character for him the day before Saturday. But the rest of the day played out fine. So we kind of were just monitoring. And then Saturday morning, he just started acting kooky. And he was like lethargic and throwing up and not eating. And not eating was the final catalyst to us being like, yeah, we got to take him to the vet. Because one thing about Tuna, he's going to eat.
Yeah.
He is gonna eat. One time he hurt his paw playing with the basketball too much. Like, he has to have supervised ball time because he'll just play until he dies.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves to dribble. Like, he loves to push them in circles. Like, he loves that.
Like, when you see, like, a seal in the circus with a ball on his nose, that's Tuna with the basketball.
Or, like, an English bulldog on a skateboard. Like, it's similar vibes. And he loves balls. Those are, like, his favorite things in the world. So one time he got a rock stuck in between his little toe beans and he got a little cut. So he had to go get it cleaned and washed out and then wrapped and bandaged. And he was like this for a while and he was a big baby about it. Like, he was like, and we were like, oh, as soon as food came out, he was running laughing like nothing happened. Like, it's always food. Food is like the one thing. So when he wasn't eating and he was just sniffing, I was like, oh my God. I literally immediately started crying when he wouldn't eat breakfast. So that was a little stressful. Turns out he ate something. We're not too sure what yet. But it's a foreign object, not food or anything like that. Which I am grateful for because Squids felt like a big fucking mystery for well over a year, what it was. But I will say that the doctor told me that we take very good care of our dogs. They could tell that we take really good care. And thankfully, we took them to a really wonderful hospital, and they took really great care of him, and he's better now. And he got sent home today. So that was nice. And what else? Oh, the nurses told me in the hospital that she said, he is a ham. That's how she said it to me. And I started laughing. I was like, oh, yeah, he's real sweet. And she was like, yeah, he's everybody's favorite. They said he had his own bed in there.
Yeah, the other dogs or animals all had just blankets. He had a
little bed, and they said, "Was that bed yours? Did you bring that in with him?" And I was like, "I did not." I did not bring a bed with him.
He had a Casper mattress in his little crate.
He had his own like VIP suite because he was just talk of the town. And when the nurses brought him out, it was two nurses brought him out. And they were like, he is the best dog ever. And he came out. And when he came out, he had a big old smile on his face. And he was stopped at every person on the way to us in the waiting room. Mm. And then he finally saw us and came up to us. And then it was funny because I told them, obviously, when we took him to the doctor, I wrote on his paperwork that he's deaf. And I was like, he's 100% deaf. So, you know, I just in case, like, he if he wanders or if he doesn't react at all. And also if he interacts with other dogs, like, he can't hear. And they were like, oh, thank you for telling us. And then when the lady brought them over, he was, like, stopping at every person saying hi and then coming over to us. And then she's like, Tuna. And she goes, he's deaf, but I still like to say his name. Like, I was like, oh, yeah, girl, I talk to him all the time. I talk to him as if he can hear me because sometimes I think he can. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think he chooses when to listen to me. It's
selective, sure.
But any hoodle. Yeah, thankfully he's home now. But it's been a very stressy weekend for me because of that.
Thankfully everything was good, though.
Yeah, thankfully he's good. And he was very happy to be home. And Squiddy was very, like, he was very demure yesterday because Tuna wasn't in the house.
He was sad.
Which is very new for him, yeah. But he was so excited when Tuna got back home. He brought him a couple toys when Tuna was wandering in. Mm. He brought, like, one toy and dropped it, and then he went and got another one and then dropped it again. It was very cute. But, yeah. Win some, you lose some. What else happened? Oh, we had cousin time with Brittany. She came over and spent the night for a few days.
We finished the pit.
Oh, yeah. We finished the pit with Brittany. She's never watched the show, but she watched the last, like, five episodes with us. And she was so into it.
It was good.
It's so good. So good.
It is kind of graphic, though, and I didn't realize that till I got further into this.
I should have figured, though, because it's on HBO, which I didn't.
They showed, like, a literal Pachina giving birth.
Pachina.
So just if you're, and, like, they show open wounds.
And then they show titties when they cut open their.
Girl.
Oh, yeah. I made this joke, too. I was like, I'll tell you what I don't want to hear. If you're cutting my bra off, my tits are laying on my sides. Don't be bantering over my body. Yeah. I'm going to be mad. One thing I don't want to hear is you're going to have to buy me dinner first. Well, my tits are out in the OR.
Dr. Langdon's like, my hands are special. And she goes, yeah, and they're small. My tits are out.
My literal tits are out.
I don't want to hear that.
Hey, you're putting a chest tube in me and you're bantering?
You're intubating me? I don't want to hear that.
Oh, my God. In the part in one of the episodes when the girl goes, my mom would be so proud. She always told me to wear nice bra and underwear in case I ever go to the hospital. When I tell you my mom has said that to us since we were kids, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Like, when my mom would always be like, throw out underwear that's tattered and everything. What if one day they have to cut it off? You don't want to be wearing embarrassing underwear.
It's true.
I never. It's but I also, important like, to see yourself represented in media.
If I'm about to die, I also don't care what underwear I'm wearing.
Me too. I mean, at that point, even if I was going commando in my jeans, you would still have to make sure I stay alive. That's not up to you.
Even if I'm wearing those scrunch butt leggings and they're so far up my moose knuckle.
Yeah.
Cut them off.
I gotta have a pair of overalls on and you cut them off me and I'm full puss out in my overalls. No barrier between. Discharge on the lining. Yeah. You still have to take care of me. By legal standard.
Hey, you have to.
You have
to. It's
the
law.
They didn't say that discharge on my jeans was going to make sure you can't take care of me.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess a girl can't discharge on her jeans.
Huh. Standard practice of care doesn't matter when I have discharge on my jeans, huh?
Oh, it's illegal to have discharge in my jeans now.
I have girl jizz in my jeans and you're mad?
Yeah, I could have been wearing the tightest skinny jeans and when you cut it open, just my vagina just bursts out of it.
Yeah.
And you'll be... And if I was a doctor and I was cutting it off, I was cutting off your skinny jeans and your puss comes out, I'd be a little annoyed because I'd have no warning.
Yeah.
I'd be like, oh, I thought typically people have underwear on.
A little bit of a forewarning would be nice. I feel it. Yeah.
You get a second of irritation and that's it. Mm. Max. Because then you got to save my life.
I need a trigger warning if that's happening.
I'd be a little irritated. If I was Dr. Langdon, I'd be a little irritated.
And I would be talking shit on you.
Yeah.
As I'm like saying, I'd make pump him with 30 rock and
rock morphine. AD 82 BP 82 over 62 systolic.
32 PPs of of girl jizz and 40 rock.
30 milliliters of discharge, center lining of her Good American jeans.
No, when I cut off her Good American jeans and they were covered in girl jizz.
Oh, no one else has ever had discharge in their Good American jeans.
You guys, we should be calling discharge girl jizz because it's funny.
But it's not girl. There is girl jizz, though. It's a different kind. I know, but it's a different kind of girl jizz.
The other one's regular jizz. That's girl jizz.
Oh, that's tea. Genderless jizz.
Yeah.
But that's girl jizz.
Girl jizz.
Yeah. That's tea. There's genderless jizz.
Yeah. And
there's girl jizz.
And gender neutral jizz. Then yeah. There's girl jizz.
Yeah. And there's ethical non-monogamous jizz. And that's different. That's a different kind.
There's so many other jokes I can make, but I don't want to.
I know. I'm just saying, like, if I am getting a major procedure in the OR, nobody better be flirting over my body. Instead of DNR, I'm gonna put DNF.
Do not flirt.
Do not flirt. Do not flirt.
Because you're performing CPR, my literal tits are out, and you're making jokes about what's for lunch?
No, for real. There's or you're no saying, way. Call me when something interesting happens. My tits are out. What could be more interesting than that?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Actually, there was... You know what's funny is the episode... There is an episode where Dr. Robbie... You know when they go like... let's lift them over, like move them from the gurney to whatever, yeah. like to the table.
And he fucks up his back. Yeah.
Yeah. When he picks up a big girl.
Yeah.
And the fact that they show him going, ah, I'm suing the hospital. Don't you do that to me. There's a part at the end too where they go, big guy. This is a big guy. He's going to need more than that.
No, she goes, when they're picking, I think the throat tube size, she goes, he's pretty big, probably a size 8. Hey, that's mean.
Y'all ever been fat shamed when you're dying?
I've been fat shamed. Yeah, the doctor.
I've been fat shamed at the doctor plenty of times. Yeah. I don't think me dying should ever warrant fat phobia.
I agree.
Ever. I think it should be out the door at that point.
I don't think me coming in for a fucking sty and I'm leaving with tips on a diet and to meet with a nutritionist.
No, dead ass.
That's real.
Well, if you've watched The Pit, I'd love to know your thoughts. Who are your faves? Who are your hate? Who are you hating?
Yeah. I love Mel, Dana.
I do love Mel. I do love Dana. And Dr. Robbie.
And Dr. Robbie. Those are my three favorite characters, yeah.
I'm fucking with Mateo. I think he's sick as a nurse.
You're going to say sexy. I was like, that's so out of character.
I would never in a million years. You know that about me.
I know that to be true.
I think he's sick in the way he handles patients and the way he's a good nurse. And also, I really like Princess. And I think she's awesome.
Yeah.
They have such a great cast. Like, everybody is so well cast. And honestly, can I say, I'm fucking with Dr. Langdon.
He is really good.
And Dr. Collins. I really love Dr. Collins.
Me too.
Her storyline is so sad. Oh, my God. So sad. Also, I'm rooting for him. Him and Dr. Collins.
Oh, Dr. Robbie?
Mm-hmm. I'm rooting for it. I'm cheering for it, actually. Please, 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 please. Anyways, what else did we watch?
Sinners. We went to the movies and we saw Sinners.
We did. Before we get into Sinners,
okay,
you and I have been being persecuted online.
I'm so glad you brought
because
this
up. Of Team Jeremiah stance.
And you know what? We should talk about Sinners first, then go. Or you want to talk about that first?
I'd rather talk about this first because there's less meat on it.
I feel like I could talk about this way longer than Sinners, so that's fine.
Well, yeah. Equal amounts. Who
let's
cares?
Do it. Okay.
Yeah.
No, let's do this one first. I don't care.
I posted in my story. I was like, I am constantly being persecuted for my Team Jeremiah stance.
Me too.
And I think when people are really good sports about it, I think they say some funny ass shit. Like, I gotten a few of people going like, your first bad take, it's crazy.
We talked about it on Upstairs Neighbors and they were like, it's so crazy that their mics were off the whole time. Like,
I couldn't hear anything.
Couldn't hear anything
you guys said. I know, even I said, I was like, Team Jeremiah till I die, I don't give a fuck, as they dragged me away.
Yeah.
You know, I know the chat knows this, so I'm going to tell y'all to tell your fucking friends, but I already know about this Jeremiah cheating on Belly shit. Like, everyone's like, girl, just you wait. First of all, they weren't cheating. That doesn't constitute cheating in my very logical mind because you were on a break. If the parameters weren't set as if no sleeping with other people, This is why breaks are fucking stupid, mind you. This is why I always say breaks are stupid, because
you should just break up.
You should just break up because they're unclear. What's a break to one person is different to the next person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the lines of it are so blurred.
Yeah, you bitches would hate to hear that take when it comes to Friends too, like with Rachel and Ross. Now, do I think it was fucked up he did it the night they did it? Yeah, obviously that's fucked up. Obviously. But do I think her saying it was cheating is unfair too? Also, yes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Critical thinking. It's imperative. That being said, me and Jason have talked about this extensively, but does anyone remember from season one when she fucking made out with Jeremiah? He touched her titty. Then she went and made out with his fucking brother and dated him for a year. Does anyone else remember that?
Yeah. So I'm all about to say Belly is not... She's not a good person.
Well, aren't we operating from that understanding already? Yeah. So it's like, if we're operating that all of these people are enmeshed and they shouldn't be dating each other, but they are, that's just where we're at, then let's go based off the facts, which are...
All right, friends, we're going to take one quick little break, and this is with our friends at Dry Bar. So this podcast is presented by Dry Bar's all-inclusive 8-in-1 multi-styler and blowout defense collection, an all-in-one game-changing tool and liquids that together deliver blowouts that last up to literally 96 hours, girl. I love that the multi-styler has less damage. It has a style lock technology that optimizes air and heat to reduce long-term heat damage. The blowout defense strengthen and extend blowout accelerator spray right here next to me cuts blow dry time by 32% while locking in styles, which I'm obsessed with because I hate how long it takes me to blow dry my hair. And I also love that the all-inclusive styler and blowout defense collection are your blowout's best defense. Get blowout staying power for up to 96 hours so that you don't need to keep washing your hair or styling it. It's this whole thing. And I love that I feel like it just takes all the thinking out of doing my hair, because doing my hair is something that's always been like really stressful to me. But this takes all of the thinking out of it. It makes it so much faster. I also love that there is a hydrobond peptide in these products that act as a pre-blowout treatment for healthier, longer-lasting styles. And I love that the multi-styler dries, straightens, curls, and adds volume without damage. And it extends styles for up to, again, 96 hours. So don't just get ready, but stay ready. Get a blowout that lasts now and shop Drybar's all-inclusive and blowout defense products at drybar.com. Now, back to the episode.
If we're calling it a PEMDAS and saying that's not cheating on either side, call it, right? There you go, off the table. Now let's look at who's mean. Case closed. No further questions, Your Honor. I don't know what the fuck is the debate. And this, I feel like I've said this on the show before, but like, Team Conrad girls, you're people who, you think you can fix him. Sorry.
I agree.
You think you can fix him. You think you're the exception. You think that him being mean is like, no, it's because he only listens to me. He only listens to me.
No, I sent you a TikTok of this girl that said, if the show ends with Belly choosing herself and neither of them, I will blow up or I will cancel my Amazon Prime membership.
Exactly. Exactly. Because if anyone deserves to choose themselves, it's those fucking brothers. Mm-hmm. They should choose each other and ditch her. That would be funny too. And you know what? You better not do that either, because then that's you making me root for a white man. Don't do that to me either.
Please, Jenny Han.
Jenny Han, don't do that to me. Do the right thing and make her end up with Jeremiah.
Conrad was mean to her. I actually have read all three books. I finished the third one. So, and he was mean to her, just like in the show.
And I already know what happens in the third one. Yeah. What the fuck? I stopped reading because I didn't want to read it anymore.
Do you remember why they rushed to get married?
No!
I'm trying to remember why.
There was no fucking reason. Because the mom's already dead. And that sounds fucked up, but it's true.
But I get like rushing it so your mom can...
Yeah, but it would make sense if she was still alive. And then they wanted to get married so she could be there, right? That would make sense to me. She's been gone for like 2 years at this point. Then it's like, hey, what's the point? Then it feels spiteful. Like you're doing it on purpose so she can't change her mind again. Anyways, I think... that if you I think if you like Team Conrad, but you're allowed to like it just like we're allowed to be Team Jeremiah. I think what matters the most though is everyone remembers that it's all make-believe and none of it matters because it's not real. So there's that too. I did get a few passionate responses.
I did too.
To which I'm like, it's not real.
Hey guys, it's okay.
It's okay. None of them are real.
Yeah.
It's all right. Okay. At the end of the day, we're all going to be okay because none of it's real.
Don't worry about it,
I'm sure there's white men doing nefarious activity over a vaguely mixed girl somewhere in the real world. But fortunately for all of us, it's not the people in the summer I turn pretty because it's not real. So it's okay. Everything will be fine.
I feel that.
What else? Sinners.
Yes, we went and saw Sinners in the movie theaters.
We did. And we went with Brittany because she had just seen it the day before. And she was like, we have to go together. So we went. And when I tell y'all, that's the best movie I've seen in a while.
Yeah, it was really good.
I mean that with my whole chest. I cried so many times.
Yeah, like, I mean, the casting of it was done so well, too.
Oh, my God. And I saw someone saying the pacing of this movie was perfect. And that's exactly how I felt.
I said that it didn't even feel like it was over 2 hours long.
No, and I was telling someone I knew it was good because I didn't want to look at my phone once. Mm. Brain rot. But if your brain is as rotted as ours, it's hard to hold attention for that long.
That's why I said The Pit is one of the first shows I've watched in a really long time where I don't look at my phone the whole time.
That's tea.
Succession, I'm looking at my phone and I'm confused what they're talking about. Severance, same thing. I'm watching Hacks right now too. It's really good. I'm like, that's tea. Look at my phone. It shouldn't be.
No, Sinners was, oh man, so good. Such a transformative piece of art. I'm really, really hoping that movie gets its flowers in the way it deserves. I don't know if they're going to, but I really hope they do, because that is just such an unbelievable piece of art. It's so good. Perfect on all ends. Not one gripe out of me. It was perfect. And there's so much symbolism and layered symbolism within it. I saw a really funny video today. This girl was saying, some people were like, why didn't the Native Americans keep hunting?
Yeah.
And then the lady was like, because they were done talking at that point. In that year, they were done. They'd seen all they needed to see. They did what they could to protect you. And then someone was saying, one thing about Indigenous people is they're taught to always go home before the sun goes down, which is so funny because that is true. Mm. That's always been our thing too. Like, always going home before the sun goes. I'm never outside when it's nighttime because that's when bad things happen.
Well, yeah.
And bad spirits walk the earth at night. Because that's the only time they can. What the fuck? So I loved watching all the breakdowns.
Mm-hmm.
They're fascinating to me. Because there's so many layers to that movie. It's so pretty.
Yeah, I caught a few of them while we were watching it, which is, like, I love doing that. But then seeing other ones I missed, I'm like, oh, he's genius.
I know, and there's so many, I've seen so many people, like, I find it strange to categorize that movie as horror.
No, it's for sure like a thriller, I would say.
Yeah, it has horror elements to it, but I wouldn't classify it as a horror. It's like, I don't even know where you would put that movie. Like, I wouldn't classify it as a horror genre, though.
No, that's what I said. I think a thriller. Yeah,
it's just so, man, it's so good. And the horror elements just add to it. It's also, too, like, this movie is another example to me of a movie that has sexual elements and themes to it that are not fetishizey or like exploitive for the sake of moving the plot.
Yeah,
like the sex in this movie is so like intimate and detailed to the storyline, but it's not something that feels like pornographic in a revenge way or an exploitive way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It feels very natural, very real, and very organic.
Yeah, like, you know, like you watch horror movies, there's always like one sex scene for no reason.
Yeah, or one that just like, you're like, what is even the fucking point?
A part I think of a lot is like in the movie The Orphan.
Oh, the, like, yeah.
Parents just have sex in the kitchen for what?
So they could catch that little weirdo watching.
For what?
Yeah, like, she could have been watching anything. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to add her weirdness into, as if it wasn't obvious enough, she was unsettling.
Yeah.
Like, they needed
but to, I'm just like, saying, like, what is that?
That's how I felt watching almost every season of American Horror Story before I gave up.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't classify those as sex scenes, but, like, they're just pornographic for the sake of being horrifying and or, like, killing or starting a new plot.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm like, or they could just be normal.
Yeah.
And I felt like in this movie, they were done in a way that was very sensual and sexual, obviously, to make it appealing.
Freaky as shit.
Freaked out! In a way that makes you feel like, okay, period. Not in a way that makes you feel like, does that make sense? It's not in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable. It's in a way that makes you feel like, wait a second, hold on.
Why am I into this?
Hold on, rewind it.
Yeah.
That's like, that's how it feels when you're watching
literally
it.
Me, but that was me watching Jeremiah catch Kelly at the party. That was me feeling freaked out.
Because you know what it is?
Because I want someone to do this.
That's neither here nor there.
I would like
that may be playing a role.
I would like someone to take care of me.
Yes, but it's the emotional intimacy of it. It's not even necessarily the act of sex. It's the emotional intimacy and vulnerability that makes it sexual, where it's like eye contact. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Deep, meaningful eye contact. Or it's like very intentional forwardness when it comes to sex.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie was freaked out.
You guys, it was really, really good. It was really good.
Oh God, it was so good.
And the main kid, Sammy, was that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Preacher boy. That was his first acting role.
I saw that.
Something like that.
Yeah. Fucking awesome.
It was so good.
It was so good, and the cast was so perfect. I literally perfect. Also, the way it was filmed was so beautiful.
I forgot he did it all on 70mm or some shit.
It's
like that.
So beautiful. So I was,
first of all, we are subtitle watchers through and through.
I know.
Anytime,
I was struggling a little bit.
Anytime that old man slim, anytime he spoke, I was like, I don't know what he's saying.
I was catching every other word respect, but it was like, I know, I am so used to subtitles that
did
I was
you send
like,
me the video of that girl saying her, she was going like that. Like,
yeah, someone who always watches with subtitles trying to enjoy Sinners the same way.
Someone said, I could never understand what Michael B. Jordan was saying. I wanted to tell him, rip that mustache off. I can't hear anything. Like, that would help. But that's how I felt too. It was too much.
Oh my God.
And I don't know if because it's on 70mm film and we didn't watch it in IMAX, which is what it was made to be, like kind of Oppenheimer.
Viewed in, yeah.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I felt like at the beginning there were parts I couldn't see well.
Maybe.
So maybe it's like our movie theater. Possible. Not like Michael or Ryan Coogler's fault. Like, yeah. I just thought it was like maybe our theater just has a shitty machine to operate film like that.
Yeah, I mean the theater we were in wasn't IMAX, but it was I thought it was something. It wasn't IMAX, but it was like, I don't even know. Sometimes I think they just make shit up so they can charge me more for the ticket.
It's that one with like surround sound or something.
Yeah, Dolby.
Mm-hmm. But, Dolby Atmos.
Yeah, for real. But it was filmed so beautifully and the costuming was so good. Oh my God. Just top to bottom. No notes. Perfect. I do want to watch it again. I can't wait for it to go on streaming so I can watch it again.
Really good.
I feel like that the same way I did about Wicked, where I was like, I can't wait to cry to that at home. When I was watching it, I was like, I can't wait to cry to that on my own couch at home. But it was so good, and we had so much fun.
I agree.
We had a blast. What else was I going to say?
We were watching, Brittany was showing us Drewski's dating show. So we're watching that for a minute the other night after Sinners. What two great cinematic masterpieces back to back.
Back to back, you know?
Yeah.
I thought of something that I did and I was like, oh, I bought a sound bar for my television.
I did see it, yeah.
Sound bar, and wow, what a difference.
Really?
Yeah, it makes a huge difference.
Did you tell Daddy?
No, I haven't told him yet.
He would be so excited.
I know, I'll show it to him too, but... Yeah, it makes a huge fucking difference. And I told Billy that the catalyst to me getting it was when we were watching The Pit. I should not have to put the TV on 100. The volume to 100.
Mm-hmm. I can't hear anything.
I can't hear a goddamn thing. And then it's even scarier because when you're on, is it Hulu? Yeah, Hulu. When you hear the title credits for the shows, they sound like they're gonna blow out my speakers.
Yeah, and
but then
scary.
The show itself is so low. Yeah. Oh my God, it was driving me nuts. So that was the catalyst because I was like, after you guys all left, we were turning like the channel, and then I realized that it was on 100. I was like, oh my God, it's so loud, and I like turned all the way down. I should not, and I was like, I'm gonna get a sound bar. So I did, and it makes a huge difference. Now the sound bar is on like 20, and it's so loud. I was like, oh, turn it down.
That's too many slices.
Which, oh, that reminds me, I finally watched The Last of Us.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to watch the new episode tonight.
Yeah. Wait, before we get into that, someone did ask me what I thought of season 3 White Lotus season finale, whatever the
fuck. Oh, yeah.
I really liked it. I thought the symbolism in it was cool. I guess I could see why it would feel rushed because it was like everything happened in that episode and everything throughout the season was kind of like whatever, but I loved this season. This has been my favorite one that I've watched.
Yeah,
and watching the three women make up with each other, I cried. I loved it.
I watched that on TikTok.
Yeah. And it was really good. Yeah, and they were playing Girl Interrupted Or not a girl interrupter. Girl so confused. Sorry.
Yeah.
Or so confusing. I can't speak right now. Sorry, my brain's fried. Okay, yeah. So we did watch Catch Up on The Last of Us.
Yes.
So the second episode.
Yes. I watched it finally.
When I watched it, it was 4:20 and I was way too high watching it. And I felt like a little emotional at the end, but I was just kind of like, And I think it's because I already knew what was going to happen.
Me too. And like I said, I'm familiar with the game lore, so I had a feeling I knew what was going to happen. Spoiler alert. I knew Joel was going to die. I just didn't know how she was going to do it. Although I had a feeling, obviously I knew she was going to hold true to her word of like, slowly, whatever the fuck she says. Yeah.
Have you looked at the reviews that I was telling you about? Like, yes. Why people were talking about it was important character.
Yeah. And I explained it to Billy and I was telling him, now that I've watched it, I understand, because the way she does it, like, dog, you would have to be like juiced to the max to inflict that kind of damage on him. Like, to the point where his eye is gone. Like, you have to be Mike Tyson punching that motherfucker to like, and the fact that she was going for so long, she was sweating through her shirt. She had to have been doing it for at least 30 minutes, like at least. I feel like I saw this one of Daniel Tosh's stand-ups. In one of them, he's saying that he saw a story about a fat guy in prison that got stabbed like 800 something times or something like that. He goes, that's a real number. And he goes, so I literally did the math. I was like, okay, let's say I'm a fairly in shape guy. I'm doing 2 stabs a second. And then he goes, that feels doable.
Sure.
He goes, you would still have to be stabbing for like 50 minutes to get that many in the amount of time.
That's so interesting.
So then I was like, the joke is really funny, because the whole point is that he was saying this guy's insane because he was going even faster than that. And 2 stabs a second is an unheard of number. So I kept thinking that when I was watching her beat him to death, I was like, let's say it was 40 minutes. Like, you would have to be like Sonic the Hedgehog, like, like a punching bag. Yeah, like, to get that many in that amount of time.
She's punching him like when people punch that giant punching bag to get your speed. Like, how,
yeah, it's like
in the arcade.
Yeah, and it measures and gives you 50 fucking tickets or whatever, so you can get a Chinese finger cuff. Yeah, that's why I was literally, I felt like Daniel Tosh in this. I was like, 2 stabs a second.
I mean,
there's no way.
The funniest part of that was when she was like, you know, and he goes, oh, shut the fuck up. And that made
just fucking do it already.
Made me laugh so hard. And that's why, if you watch people who have played the games and they talk about it, they're like, that whole speech was like, what the fuck are you doing? And it's like they're adding too much context and like
things. And so that part's not in the game.
No.
Like her sob story. No, because
that bitch is like, that's a muscle mommy in the game.
Yeah.
Big girl.
So she doesn't waste a lot of time talking.
No, that bitch is like, she's bigger than Joel. And that's why, for her to bring up that he's handsome, everyone was like, what the fuck is this, when they were watching it?
And I guess that part is true. Huh? You flirting with me?
Oh, you want me so bad. Yeah.
Also, how come Joel's guns are always from the Wild West? Why does he have like pistols? Why doesn't he have a fucking AK like those other people? Why is your brother walking around with a rifle and you have these 2 fucking can shooters?
It's pew pews.
Yeah, two of those fucking, like, what the fuck was it called in A Christmas Story? He was like a Red Ryder's BB gun rifle or whatever the fuck. Like, why do you have that? Little Annie Oakley's, like, why? Like, there's a part in The Office where he goes, if it helps, when he shoots a gun off in the office and what's her face finds out, I forget her character's name, but it's, what's her name? She's the lady from, she was in Coven. As the...
Oh, Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates, that's right. There's a part where he says, well, if it helps, it was this kind of gun. And she goes, that's a girl's gun. She says that. She goes, that doesn't even make it embarrassing. That makes it plain stupid. Like, it's embarrassing because it's like a tiny little gun, that one
little handgun.
Yeah.
That's funny.
That's a girl's gun. That's how I feel when I look at Joel's guns. I'm like, why do you have girl guns? Just kidding. Not girls. Joke. Not girls. I just feel like his shit is always so old timey. Like when they were taking
his aesthetic.
Yeah, like when they were taking his weapons. Also, why do you have a fucking why does it look like something Whiskey Pete would have? Like, where's your, the other ones have ones that take 2 hands to hold. He is like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Ugh. Not like it matters, even if he had that big ass gun. he got. I was thinking, and what are the fucking odds that she runs into him? They're like, how are we ever going to find him? And then she just falls right in. Then he takes her right to their fucking house.
I know. That's why when he sees that the town is like on fire and he wants to go back and they say no, she's like, it's literally right here and we won't make it or whatever. People were saying that's out of Joel's character. He would never have chosen, like, he would rather have gone back to help Ellie and his brother.
Yeah.
Than to, he would never have done that.
Yeah. I think that's T.
They were saying it's out of character. And I guess, like, in the game.
I'm curious to know then is, like, what actually does happen in the game then?
In the game, he's actually with Tommy. Like, Tommy's with him when he passes
when
away.
When they get captured.
Yeah. And Dina's with Ellie.
Okay.
So that's why, like, I didn't understand why. I don't know what the purpose was of
I'm assuming because they had that big fucking, they wanted to leave Tommy back, like, in the writing process. They wanted to leave him back at the compound to handle that big-ass fucking battle.
Sure.
That part, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
First of all, when they were doing it, I said, talk about a well-oiled machine. This man is running fucking game plans. He has a plan for a plan for a plan. Like, when they breach, he's like, they're going to breach. And he runs into the town, and then someone's holding his flamethrower ready for him to put it on. I said, what the fuck? They choreographed this shit? Damn. Yeah, I'd be scared to go up against that compound, too. Shit.
I wonder if they knew they were going to come.
What do you mean?
Like, how did they know the zombies were going to come to them?
They didn't know that. That's just what they, that's the protocols they have in place.
Oh, okay.
Because they've dealt with them before.
So did she end up waking them up? Did Abby wake all of those zombies up?
Yeah, she woke up the ones that were chasing her down the mountain.
Yeah.
But because that guy hit that pole when, like, back at the Jackson hole, when he was hitting that pipe and then he was taking out the thing, that thing started calling them. Which is why they all redirected. They were chasing them at first, and then you see them all turn and they start running backwards.
I see, okay.
And they're running towards the source, which is like that little, you know, it's like the little brain that controls them. So it's telling them to come there because there's humans there. Sure, so there's sure. this way.
That makes sense.
And then he said that those ones that are running are the smarter, more evolved ones that they run into in the first episode.
Yeah.
Because they were using the dead bodies of other stupider infected to shield themselves from the cold.
Mm.
And that dumb bitch woke them up. Oh, God. And then, obviously, it was really sad. It was sad, but it didn't make me cry just because I think I knew. The acting was phenomenal. I thought the acting was unbelievable. I thought Bella Ramsey did an unbelievable job. I did think it was funny. Billy laughed, too, and he was like, oh, shut the fuck up and just do it already. And she was like, you don't get to rush this, whatever. I'd be like, you know what I mean? But when he did that, Billy goes, no, for real. That's what I would say too.
Hurry up.
I think it's because they're trying to build empathy for her. Like, they're trying to show why she would do that so that you don't inherently root for Joel. But, like,
you already know that, like, I'm not rooting for her, but I understand why she is the way that she is.
Yeah, well, when she was talking about that being her dad, it was like the doctor, it wasn't necessarily the Fireflies.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I guess that makes more sense. Like, in my head, I was like, all right, I mean, I'll give you your tens for that because I thought you were just doing this over some fucking soldiers. And I was like, there's no way you're committing 5 years of your life to this. Mm. There's no way.
But that's why seeing her, like, that's what I'm saying. She had committed having a vengeance that strong for 5 full years. You're not going to get fucking jacked? Of course you are. I'm training like a Marine.
Or sick of it. Like, I'd be like, I feel like Master Oogway and Kung Fu Panda.
I would dedicate like a month or so, and then I'd be like, I don't know, I'm kind of over it.
I'd get in really good shape, and I'd be like, I mean, I guess I got the best I could out of it. I got in good shape.
The last step of grief is acceptance, so I think I'm there, team.
Yeah. I mean, I worked through it.
Yeah.
In the gym. I worked through it.
In the Iron Paradise.
In the Iron Paradise. For me personally. But that's just that happens when you lock in my experience.
I guess you're just not locked in.
I know. I turn into David Goggins.
Was that from a Q&A we did on Patreon where someone said, how do I get over my fear of the gym?
Yeah.
Or was it?
No, that was on here. Yeah. And I was like, they said, how do you not feel self-conscious? And I was like, mm-hmm. I guess I'm just way more locked in than you guys. I guess that's my, I don't know. That seems to work for me. Yeah, no. Once I watched it all, and then when Ellie was like, I'm going to fucking kill you, I was like, and I heard that, bitch. Yeah. Also, I was like, you're smaller than Ellie. I don't believe you that she could have beaten that man's face to an unrecognizable amount. Please. I did like, though, that she didn't have to hang out there for too long, and then they were already going back home. Mm. But I am really interested to see the next episode. And I told Billy, that soundbar is making this show a lot scarier.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because it's even louder.
Is it? It's a Samsung TV, right? Mm-hmm. So is mine. Maybe yeah. I'll get a soundbar, too.
Dude, it's great. And it was really easy, well, for him to set up, I think.
The first time I ever set up a soundbar was with my ex, and because she got one for her birthday. And I remember there's like a cable that goes in the back called the coax cable or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I kept laughing because I was thinking, the coaxium from the fucking the Star Wars ride. Yeah. It's like Drew would laugh at that.
He's like, the coaxial is the most expensive material in the galaxy. And he's like, oh, you found two barrels of coaxium. That guy that's like a fucking pirate.
Yeah. You guys, can I share something vulnerable? I want to go to How to Train Your Dragon Land so bad.
Me too.
I cannot express to you even more how badly I need
to. Do you have any idea the edits I've cried to from How to Train Your Dragon?
Yeah.
The one with Do I Want to Know Hosier's version from the BBC Live Lounge? And it's Hiccup's dad finding his mom and saying, "You're just as beautiful as the day I lost you." I'm tearing up already.
I'm not gonna let that make me tear up right now.
I'm not kidding. When I was at Brittany's house and I convinced her to read that Viking book once, we were chatting and I said, and I forget why the fuck we started talking about How to Train Your Dragon. And then I was like,
because she loves those movies.
Well, so do I, but I'm saying I forget
how it came
up.
Have you seen all of them? I think I've only seen the first one. I don't remember the other two.
I've only seen the first two.
Okay.
I've never seen the third one. Okay. But the second one's the one where they have that giant monster that can like hypnotize all of them.
And then the third one's with the girlfriend dragon.
Yeah.
The white one.
Yeah.
I don't think I've
watched that. I thought that one was, I thought she was in the second one.
Wait, you might be right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The girl toothless. Girl toothless. Which one is she in? I forget.
The femme toothless.
The chapstick lesbian toothless.
There's butch toothless. There's
lipstick lesbian toothless.
There's butch toothless. And then there's lipstick lesbian toothless.
Yeah. Lipstick lesbian toothless. Yeah. You gotta know. It's only fair.
He, him, she, her. Yeah. That's this whole thing. Yeah. I need to go to, that was gross, sorry. I need to go to that land so bad.
I know, I want to go so bad. Well, what I was saying was, I told Brittany, I was like, dude, have you seen those edits? Because she hasn't, I think she's only seen the first one. I don't know if she's watched the other ones.
Because she said she loves them.
Okay, I thought so. But then I was telling her, I was like, have you seen the edit where Hiccup's dad meets the mom? And then she was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, I'm going to fucking find it and I'm going to send it to you.
In a group text, I've never seen that.
Yeah, so I sent it to her. But I even said, I was like, this is the one I was talking about that made me cry. And then I sent it to her and she told me she bookmarked it and saved it. And she watches it when she wants to cry. It's a good one. The How to Train Your Dragon Eds. Billy has a video of me on a plane when we're flying to like New York, I think. And I was literally like watching TikTok on my phone. And I was in tears watching TikTok. And it was literally, I was crying to a sad edit of Hiccup and Toothless.
It has the
most ridiculous sounds on it, like songs.
I feel like I would love the movie way more if I just hate Hiccup's voice.
I know.
That's like really hard for me to walk.
That's how I felt about the Mickey 17 voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same
really
vibe.
Really hard.
It's hard to get behind it. It's hard to support it.
It's hard to swallow, really, if you think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, that like, yeah. I know, it's so irritating. Yeah, it's always like, yeah. For real.
I hate it.
I get what you're saying. Also, DreamWorks Animation is always very hit or miss.
Yes.
Depends on if it grabs me.
Yeah, you know? Like Megamind? Yes.
That movie is unparalleled in humor.
You wouldn't believe the amount of inside jokes we
our family has from that movie. That movie specifically. Like, there is something about that movie. I don't know. I was trying to think of other weird one-offs like that where we have like a lot of jokes from it.
I mean, Uncle Buck. Yeah.
No, but cartoons. Like they're like not Disney cartoons. They're like off-brand cartoons.
I'm trying to think.
Because Donovan used to love off-brand cartoons like that.
Like Hoodwinked and...
Over the Hedge is a big one.
Yeah, Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. Yeah. Romeo and Juliet. It's like monsters. Like remember, Monsters versus Aliens.
Yeah,
he loved that movie, and I used to watch it. And I used to giggle. I used to giggle. I used to laugh.
Over the Hedge was a big one. I remember.
Over the Hedge, like,
I told you, I watched it last year, and I said, "When's the last time you watched that movie? It is so funny."
That's how I felt about Robots. Robots is another
one. That's another one. Yeah.
When I watched Robots recently, I was like, "This movie has everything." Like the game, and it's an allegory on capitalism. Like, capitalism
the Ricola part. Remember, we would do that all the time because it's so funny. It's so funny. That Dude. Also, that video game was so fun.
It was so fun. That video game was fucking awesome. So fun. Oh my god! But yeah, it's an allegory on capitalism too, and the healthcare system.
It's like the patriarchy.
Oh my god! It's so important. That movie, Robots, is such an important movie. I forgot. I think it was The Sea Monster. Remember, I was trying to think of that one movie, yes. The Sea Monster. That one is so good. It's so funny. We do want to watch Minecraft.
I do want to see Minecraft.
I would like to see Minecraft.
Yeah. I'm trying to see that in IMAX.
I'm interested to see Minecraft.
I am too.
It has piqued my interest. I do want to go watch it.
I need to watch Sonic 3. That's another one I need to look into.
Yeah, Dayson's real good about watching, like, the Trolls trilogy.
Those are amazing. Puss in Boots, Locked In.
Puss in Boots, One Last Wish.
Yeah. Puss in Boots, Last Wish. Yes. You still, Kendall and Jordan knew exactly what. Yeah, they get it.
I know. When they said Spy is their favorite movie of all time, I was like, and you know what? Representation is important on this
really
show.
It's really important, you guys.
It's so important. Melissa McCarthy's discography is extensive, in my opinion. Her repertoire is massive. Mm. She's owed her flowers for her extensive repertoire. I love her fucking movies.
Who were we talking about the other day at your studio? We were like, and who the fuck is that? When she's like, well, tell her I'm gonna strangle her across the table.
We were talking about What Happened to Me.
I forgot. Something unbelievable happened, you guys.
I wish I could tell you. I really do. I wish I could.
It's annoying too. I didn't mean to bring it up like that either, though. Because
no, I was trying to remember too, but that is what we were talking about. Just like, And honestly, really, I think realistically, that happening to me the other day, I literally was like, my family was never meant to be a normal family. Shit like that doesn't happen to normal people.
I know.
It only happens to very, very peculiarly placed people, I feel like.
The weirdest things happen.
The weirdest things happen around us all the time. Like, the most, like, there's no way. Like, things that, like, if I had no witnesses, like, people would just think I'm just the biggest, most pathological liar ever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would be accused of being a pathological liar. And I would understand because it's so, the things I recount are so fantastical to some extent that I wouldn't believe me either. Yeah. Like, it's really not that serious, but it was just something so insane that it was like, what the fuck? Like, who am I going to tell about this? Like, who am I gonna tell this to? Everyone I know.
Now what?
Everyone I know in real life is gonna hear about that story. So, you know. Anywho, what are
we? All right, guys, that's gonna do it for this week's episode of Two Idiot Girls.
Sorry that we went 2 weeks of Zoomies, team. We just had a lot. We're backed up with small talk.
I'm all clogged up.
We're all backed up.
But we hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure you buy Drew's book. Make sure you subscribe to the Patreon because we are posting our Coachella vlogs. The first one just went live and it's so funny.
Oh, yeah. I watched it.
It was funny, huh?
It is so funny.
The first one's the best one, too, because that was the most sets we went to. The other two are also really funny, but that was my favorite one.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, make sure you join the Patreon. But other than that, we'll see you next week. Bye.
And we'll have prompts next time.
Probably. Love you,
most bye. Most likely. Love you, bye.